Thanks for listening to this audio podcast from Redemption Life Church. Listen as Pastor Michael Cox, Danny Phillips, and Rick Bradbury teach on setting the captives free.
It's extra special today because I didn't think I would get to stand up here. So I love it. Kept the streak alive. I still have not had to call out. Amen. That's awesome. What a gift. What a blessing. I want to jump in today because I'm super, super, super duper excited. And worship was awesome. Prayer time was amazing. Thank you, Chady. Great announcement. She had the hardest time ever with this just in. She practiced and prepared, I'm sure. And then we just threw a bomb in the middle of all her announcements, changed them up. It's great. And it's still, it's like 11:40. Like, God has heard my prayer today. I wanted to make sure we had plenty of time because I'm so excited about the opportunity today. I'll tell you a little bit more about that in just a minute, but I want to start with this. Sometimes I think we need less teaching and more impartation, right? I'm bored with 418. I mean, I think this is like a launching that changes our life and our church forever, and I'm bored with it. Because you know what we do? We take words from the Lord, and we find a way to put it in a package and put it in a box and systematically disseminate it, right? And by the time we get done processing what God says, we have it like what man says, right? We have it so consumable that it can't possibly be him anymore, right? And so we've started a few weeks ago on Luke 4:18. The day after Easter was April 18th. I believe it's significant. I believe God prompted my heart. There's many prophetic words along these lines. You throw me that water. And so I believe it's a launching point for us. I believe that we are a significant part of an end time harvest in the earth. Okay, thank you. What do we live? I believe that Redemption Life is gonna play a significant part of the end time harvest in the earth. And I believe it has to do with us understanding Luke 4:18 and this declaration that Jesus made and read about himself. And I believe that we are here as his body, as his representatives on the earth. We are the anointed ones to do the work of the kingdom. And so I just want to make sure that we don't lose the spirit of what God's saying by much teaching. So we've just taken Luke 4:18 and we've kind of dissected each part, and that's what we've done for the last few weeks, and it's great. I love it. I love what God has given us. He's brought me new revelation on the passage. It's changed me. It's different, and I love it. I feel the weight of it, what I need to do with my life and in the earth, and I believe you have received it as well, but I want to go deeper. I want it to take hold of us and be in us. And that's the coolest thing about the kingdom. It can take hold of you and be in you, right? We're in him and he's in us, okay? And so I want to make sure we do this. Let me just declare over you that the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon you. Because he has anointed you to preach good news to the poor, he has sent you to heal or bind up the brokenhearted and to preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable, declare the acceptable year of the Lord. I can't wait for that week. It's Jubilee. It's Jubilee. And so to get the wording right, even myself, this is what I realized in preparing for today. I still have to look at Luke 4:18. If you have to look at 4:18, you can't be 4:18. We got to be 418. 418 has to flow out of us. So I've just declared it over you. Now I want us all to declare it over ourselves. If you received it and you believed it, can you put it on the screen? We'll do it in the KJV. We're King James only here. If you don't know, we forgot to put it on the sign. Make sure nobody comes here that uses any other translations. You know that's a joke. You ready? Let's do it together. Let's go to 18, 418. I know that's the first part. All right. This is you. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Awesome. Awesome. Yes. So the first few weeks, we talked about the anointing being upon us, right? And the anointing is the divine enablement and the supernatural empowerment to carry on the ministry of Jesus. That's on us. To preach good news to the poor. If you'll remember, we looked at what it means to be poor in spirit, where we must keep the position and the posture of our heart. To not be rich in ourselves and rich in things that don't matter and poor in things that are matter, right? We have to be dependent on him. I love it. To have found God and still pursue him is the soul's paradox of love. So we have found him, but we still pursue him. If you get weary when somebody talks about more, and that's bad news to you, that means there's more, then you're not positioned in the right way. Every time we hear that there's more, that should be good news to us and exciting to us. And so we preach good news to the poor, and he has sent us to heal the brokenhearted, to bind up the brokenhearted, to set it right. Like a broken bone, he's done with us, and so we are to the world. We are to set right those in the world. We are to bring healing everywhere we go. Psalm 46:10, I just want to share with you real quick. You'll remember I read it last week in the King James. Our responsibility while he is setting it right is to be still. If you break your leg and they're going to set it, you got to be still, right? And Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. I love the New American Standard. It says, stop striving and know. Stop striving and know. We talked about it's not good to play through the pain. And the Lord just brought even more revelation to me this week as I was reflecting. You know, I reflect on the sermons that have already been preached. I want to get more out of what I preached than what I preached. You should be doing that about sermons you hear. Even if it's my own, I'm going to rehearse it and listen to it and let God speak to me through what I've already said. It's pretty cool. I feed myself. So if you say you can't be fed, I know that's a lie because I ate it. But when it says stop striving and know that I am God, means you can't know that he's God if you're striving. Because you'll confuse the product of your striving with God. And then you won't even know where he is. You'll just know what you can do in your own strength. What a poverty place to be when you haven't been able to see God move because you always fix everything yourself. So we have to stop striving if we really want to know who he is. And today we're going to jump into deliverance to the captives. Now, here is what I'm so excited about today, and I'm so glad because of the time. We got good, and it just been a great day. God, it's been like Kairos. It's not taking a lot of chronos, but we've had awesome moments already. I love it. So I called a couple of people this morning. I called Padre. He is just a father and pastor emeritus in this house, and we love him. Don't we love Padre? Ha ha, yeah. Come on, if you want to give honor, let's give honor. Come on. She loved Padre. Yes. Love Padre. And Susie, beautiful Mama Susie to me, his bride. We love them. I don't know if you even saw, but I shared Facebook where we did a little outside around the pool with you. I don't remember, 2 years ago or whatever. And I said, this is one of my favorite things to do, is get to do ministry with Padre. And look at this. We get to do it all the time. Gave me the desires of my heart. And I called Brother Danny. Danny Phillips right here. Love Danny Phillips. Amen. Yeah. Love Danny. Love Danny. Danny is a powerful, powerful man of God and preacher. Powerful man of God and preacher. Notice how I said that? Hate it when people say, man, they're a powerful preacher. They're a powerful speaker. Is that all I am? A speaker? What am I, a Bose? Come on. I'm a dad. I'm a husband, right? Come on. I'm a son. I'm a friend. Please tell me I'm a friend before you tell me I'm a speaker. But he's a powerful man of God. He's a good friend. Even if he keeps me up all night. When I say, whenever you're ready, Danny, we can leave. And we went fishing all night the other night. But powerful man, I called them. I said, hey, I'm battling a migraine. And they both were like, I'll roll with it. And then I felt better. And I was like, but I'm so excited to hear them roll with it. Like, I don't want to miss it. If they got something, I want it. And what's crazy is earlier this week, I felt so prompted to ask one of them to speak. And I didn't, because I couldn't decide which one. I was like, I really feel like someone, Padre or Daddy, needs to be in the pulpit this week instead of me. Pulpit, behind the table. I've been in it a long time, guys. Sometimes that stuff just comes back out. In the vestibule, the pulpit, right? I got to get out of the way, all right? So, we're going to tag team this morning. Yeah! It's going to be great. I'm so excited. Padre's going to come leading off. Padre Rick Bradbury leading off this morning. I love you. Yeah, which one? Paul will get you. Paul knows.
Yes, sir. Let me... Sorry. Let me know when it's 14 minutes, because I want to stop. Somebody wave at me. In light of Ben's song, leading up to what the Lord wants to say through Pastor today and us, Isaiah 59, yet Jerusalem says, the Lord has deserted us. The Lord has forgotten us. Never. Can a mother forget her nursing child? Can she feel no love for the child that she has born? But even if that were possible, I would not forget you. See, I've written your name on the palms of my hand. Always, listen to what he says to Israel, always in my mind is a picture of Jerusalem's ruined walls. I want you to hear this, the songs, in light of captivity. They had gone to captivity. Everything was ruined. Everything was destroyed. Their reputation, their livelihood, their friendships, their relationships. I want you to hear it in light of what Ben sang this morning. Always in my mind is a picture of Jerusalem's ruined walls. Soon your descendants will come back, and all who are trying to destroy you will go away. Look around and you will see all of your children will come back to you. I want you to hear that this morning. In light of that, surely as I live, says the Lord, they will be like jewels or bridal ornaments for you to display. All those prodigals, all those sons and daughters that are in captivity. He said, deliverance to the captives. And I want to share something with you today. So in light of Chloe's song, if you go farther down in Isaiah and you begin to read it and you understand it, it says this, those who trust in me will never be put to shame. Yes. Yes. Who can demand or who can snatch the plunder of war from the hands of a warrior? In light of what the assignment on us today, hear this in light of Chloe's song. Who can demand a tyrant to let his captivities go? Who can do that? But the Lord says, I want you to hear this. The captives of warriors will be released. And the plunder of tyrants will be retrieved. For I will fight for those who fight. I will fight for those who've gone astray. I will fight for you, and I will save your children. I want you to hear that today, because he's going to bring deliverance to captives. And we're on the earth to be a part of that. So I want you to understand that as Emily opened today, and like we really believe the Holy Spirit orchestrated this day, and she spoke hope. I want you to have hope in this room for those who need deliverance. I want hope to arise in this house for those who need to be set free. I want hope to arise in this house for those who are bound by addiction or those who are involved in believing every lie that the enemy has told them, deception. I want hope to arise in this room because the Lord says, there's not an army that can hold those I want to set free. There's not a system that can keep people in captivity that the enemy has put together on the earth. The Lord says, I am your redeemer. I am your savior. I am your rescuer. I am the restorer, says the Lord. And so in light of those songs, put your trust in me or put your hope in me. When I think about, you know, Tiff, you can stand, if you would, for Travis's. Why don't you stand up for Travis? Because deliverance to those who are captive. Mark, you can stand for Marks all over the planet. Would you stand for Marks? And I believe it'd be a good assignment for you to pray for Marks in the world. And read the book of Mark. Because it's a book of miracles. It's who he is, the restorer and the redeemer. David, would you stand for me? Because I believe the spirit of David really needs to flood East Tennessee. And you introduced it as a father, the spirit of David, you and Crystal, to East Tennessee. And all of those people were introduced to that. But I believe that the spirit of David can set all those that are bound by confusion and doubt and unbelief and compromise can be set free by the spirit of David flooding the house. So we are part of this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon us. I believe that you can stand, John, for your brother-in-law, Chris, as Leah stands in for him. He can be delivered. He can be set free. It can come. You may be seated. Because God says, I will rescue, I will restore, I will redeem. All captives. There's not a system. There's not an individual. There's not the depth, because here's the problem. We believe that those that aren't that bad can be delivered. Yeah, right. But not those that have been in 14 rehabs. Can I tell you, those that have been in 14 rehabs can be set free by the power of God Almighty. And you can stand in and have hope. And put your trust in the Lord. And you can read the Bible in light of all the marks on the planet. And you can see what God did for that man. And what God did for that lady. And what I want to share with you today, before Danny comes and Pastor Mark, I want to remind you of something very important. Wisdom says in Proverbs 8 verse 30, I was the architect at the beginning. Of all creation, I was the architect. And so the news I want to share with you, that not only does God deliver, but he gives direction to those he delivers. See, that's what we forget about. Oh, we need to be delivered from drugs or delivered from alcohol or delivered from addiction. But God says, I just don't want to deliver you. I want to give you direction after I deliver you. I want to set you on a right path. I want to put you in a good place. I want to lead you and guide you. God gives direction to those he delivers. And when you understand that, and you can learn it from wisdom. Wisdom says, and I'll let me just give you a quick nugget. I'm always available and always attainable. That's what wisdom says. Wisdom says, you look up and I'll be there. You stop here and I'll be there. You go over there and I'll go with you. You come back from something, I'll be there. You're on the way back and I'll be back there where you started. I will go in wherever you enter. You can't enter anywhere I won't be. I'm in every high place. I'm on every path. I'm on every highway. I'm in every jail cell. There's not a place you end up that I'm not there, says wisdom. I'm available and I'm attainable. I'm at every crossroads, every intersection. I'm going to every entrance of every relationship. You can't enter a job. You can't move to a place. I'm not there. Why is wisdom available? For those who ask, it's available so that God can give you direction after he delivers you. He gives direction. And see, we doubt because we don't know what are they going to do. Where are they going to live? They're homeless. How are they going to make it? They don't have a job. God says, I'm going to give direction to those I deliver. Once you understand that, then it says, you know, if you understand, and I just want you to grab on to Proverbs 8:30. I was the architect at the beginning. You say, well, how can God take a Chris or a Travis? How can God take the marks on the planet? Or how can God turn a whole city around or a whole system around? How can the spirit of David invade such a system as this or such a place as this? It's attainable because of this. I was the architect at the beginning. What's that mean? I can speak if you'll listen. And if you watch Proverbs, I can speak through fathers, I can speak through mothers, I can speak through strangers, I can speak through anybody. If you'll listen, I will give you wisdom or the way to go or the direction or the thing to do or the plan to follow or the job to take or the relationship to get in or get out. And once you understand him as architect, you know what he says? I wisdom am for you and I wisdom am with you. As the architect, I can see it. And I can dream it, and I can plan it, and I can draw it. What do you need? You need wisdom. Wisdom can see it. Wisdom can dream it. Wisdom can plan it. Wisdom can draw it. Wisdom can get it done. I was the architect. I was right at his side all through creation. I designed it, and I planned it, and I created it. And if you understand wisdom, I not only can plan it and put it together, I can erase it and redo it. If I don't like that there in your life, I can erase it and we'll redo that. We'll build something. I'll give you direction. I can get it done, says wisdom. I can make it happen, says wisdom. I can design it, says wisdom. I can build it, says wisdom. I can get it, says wisdom. I can give it, says wisdom. I can get it to you. If you need it, I've got it. And see, wisdom is that perspective that we don't have. It's seeing this situation from God's perspective. And wisdom is available to all of us. And so if the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach deliverance to the captives, I have to know, I have to have hope, I have to trust at a level that I believe God has a plan for the rest of their life. I believe that God is going to give them a way to escape this. I believe that no temptation is a common, that God won't give them a way out of every situation they get in. I really believe that. I'm really trusting that. So I can preach deliverance to the captive. Why? Because I can tell them, you just wait and see what God has planned. You just wait and see what God does. You just wait and see how God brings direction to those he delivers. And your best day is the day he delivers you, because you go forward from here with the architect by your side. Yeah. once you begin to understand that, and I just wanted to share it this morning because I can give you the perspective you need. I can give you the answer you need. I can give you the knowledge you need. I can give you the insight you need. I can give you the information. And I love what Pastor Michael said. The last thing I wrote in my notes is just ask. I'm available and I'm attainable. And if we know that, then we know we can pray and we can share the good news of the gospel. We can touch lives. Why? Because we know with their deliverance, there's going to come direction. And God's going to give them direction on the path to take. He's going to tell them which place at the intersection. He's going to tell them turn right, left, go ahead, or stay here a while. If we understand direction, then our faith and hope arise to such a level that we know the information they need, God's going to give them. And when they need it, the insight they need, God is going to supply it through wisdom. They don't have a clue now what they're going to do, but all of a sudden they have a clue. All of a sudden, they have a word. All of a sudden, they have a vision. All of a sudden, they have a dream. And that which lied to them and bound them for years, that place that they were put in bondage and addiction through trauma or what, through hurt or through pain or through mistakes or through difficulty, it doesn't matter where they're at today. I want hope to arise in this place because God wants to deliver them with directions. Once we understand that, God's going to give them the answer they need, the perspective they need. He's going to build something if he has to for them. He's going to make something happen if he needs to. He's going to put it together. And then along the way, he's going to erase something and redo something. And once you understand, the architect called wisdom is there for us to grab a hold of, not only for our own lives, we really need it, but especially believe in God, you've put me in this person's life because you want to set them free. You're getting ready to deliver him. You're getting ready to change her forever. You're getting ready to turn this thing around. And wisdom is going to speak through you. Wisdom's going to speak through me. And wisdom's going to show up there. And wisdom's going to end up there. And they're going to watch and see. And they have never understood how it could happen. And then they get to a place where it seemed like everything went wrong. But at their end of their life, it's going to be like this. What Satan meant for evil, God's turned it all around for the good. And I'm standing here today. I'm standing here today. And I'm standing here today. And I'm married today. And I'm free today. And I'm accepted today, and I'm appreciated today, and I'm loved today, and I'm fruitful today. Why? Because he delivered me. Amen. And if he can deliver you and I, he can deliver those you love. Yes, and you can grab hold of Isaiah 59, that there's not a system, there's not a situation, there's not a circumstance that can hold them. Yes. Whom the Lord sets free is free indeed. Danny, would you come?
Glory. Somebody give the Lord a good hand clap if you would. Give Jesus some praise. Man, those lights are bright. I don't know if it's glare off his big bald head or what, but they're bright. Man, what a word of God. Thank you, Brother Padre, for the word of God that you've given us. You know, one of the things that I really appreciate about Pastor Michael really laboring around the whole idea of Luke 4:18. It's not just a one-man show. Amen. And what I mean by that is, of course, Jesus said that the anointing was upon him to preach the gospel. But how many of you would agree, after the cross, after the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, the anointing is not just upon Jesus, right, but the anointing is upon us. Yes. Christ the head and the body. We are the body of Christ. Now, I'm going to say something right here, and don't throw your Bible at me when I say this. Because the reality of it is, you're not God, no. I'm not God, no. You're not Jesus, I'm not Jesus, but we make up the Christ in the earth. Right. See, we treat Christ like it was Jesus' last name, when the truth of the matter is, it was his function, the Messiah, the anointed one. Right. And when Jesus ascended into the heavens and the Holy Spirit came down, the same anointing that was on him, not just to preach, to heal, to raise the dead, but the same anointing that was on him to quicken him to get up from the dead, is the same anointing that is on everybody in this room that has called upon his name and received him into their life. And so the Spirit of the Lord just wasn't upon Jesus to do what he did. I'm glad that it was, but it's upon you too. Come on, the creation is not groaning and waiting for a hotshot preacher. The Bible said that the creation is groaning and waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And we as daughters and sons of God, if we would rise up in the earth under this anointing, be what God's called us to be, do what God's called us to do, we could leave an indelible impression in the earth for King Jesus and his kingdom. If you believe it, give him some praise. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. You're going to see a miracle right here because I'm going to say something in 15 minutes or less. But I am a Bible preacher, so I do want to read just a couple scriptures here for tech's sake. Thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity. And Pastor Jahan, hear me real good. Michael, whenever you're ready to go, I am too. Just know, I'm setting the record straight. Me and Michael was coming down the lake, and it was daylight, and I thought, Lord Jesus, what have I done? Because I'm the type of person, I go to bed up early, and if the sun beats me up, I got up late. So I thought, Lord Jesus, what have I done? But we had a great time. Praise God. If you would give me the first scripture I gave you, I believe it was, yeah, that one right there. Jeremiah 29, 10 through 14, and we're going to read one more. We'll take off, and we'll give a couple more scriptures as we go. Jeremiah 29, verse 10, for thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word to you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I have, or that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me, and when you shall search for me with all of your heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity. And I will gather you from all of the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place that I have caused you to be carried away captive. One more verse, please. Is this thing dead? Oh, well, thank you, sir. Galatians 5, verse 1. Galatians 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty where Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. Again, we're laboring around the idea of captives being set free. You know, when you survey the Bible, it's very easy to see that God's people has a track record of going into captivity. But it's not just you survey the Bible and discover that God's people has a track record of going into captivity. When you survey your Bible, you also discover that God has a track record of delivering his people who has went into captivity. And, you know, the reality of it is when we talk about deliverance, and Padre hit on it just a little bit this morning, when we talk about freedom, when we talk about God delivering people, you know, we automatically think of sex, drugs, and rock and roll, right? And the reality of it is there is aspects of our life that we need to submit to God and be free when it comes to our flesh, our mind, and our body. So not knocking that, I know that to be the truth. But I want to tell you that one of the number one things that bounds, or that has people bound, that binds people up, it's not just sex, drugs, and rock and roll in the church, but religion is one of the number one things that has people bound. And whether you want to look at this, whether it be from the world's perspective or from a religious perspective, Jesus offers us freedom. There is deliverance for the captive. If you believe it, say amen. Amen. So when you look at the whole idea of God's people coming up out of Egypt, most of the time we equate Egypt with the world system, and rightly so. It can be a picture to us of God's people coming up out of the bondage of the world. And when you look at how God delivered them out of the bondage of the world through giving them a little woolly lamb that represented the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm so thankful that there was a day that I accepted what God did in Christ, that he has delivered me from the world system. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad that Paul said that I've been delivered, I'm being delivered, and I shall be delivered. Yeah. See, what we got to realize about God's deliverance, it's not just a one-time thing. Amen. God is constantly and consistently bringing his people into a better place. Yeah. Come on. God is consistently and constantly bringing his people to a more free place. The other day as I was on my job, I was walking various job sites, and as I meditated on the things of God and just walked with the Lord and talked with him, you know, I come to a place where I just felt so full of the presence of God. I tried to do like a little video. I'm trying to challenge myself more to put some stuff out there on social media, but I just wanted to pee. If I stand there in front of a camera looking into it or that phone, I feel like I'm standing there naked, man. I do not like doing that. But I'm challenging myself to do that just for the simple fact that I know God has invested something in me that I need to get out, right? And the thing that I was meditating on was the idea that there is a constant invitation, there is a constant clear clarion call for all of us, regardless of where we're at, to come to a higher place. I said all of us. No matter where you're at, no matter where you have walked at in the things of the Spirit, there is always an invitation to be freer and to come up higher. And I was thinking about when John hears this call in Revelation 4, verse 1, he hears a voice as if it was a trumpet talking with him that said, "Come up hither, and I will show you things which must be hereafter." Anytime we want to see beyond where we're at, the hereafter, we must be willing to ascend. And so I want to tell you that in this room, that there is a clear clarion call for an invitation to be freer than what you are and to come up higher than what you are. Amen? And so that's part of the deliverance. It's part of what Jesus offers us. It's not just a one-time deal. It's that he is constantly and consistently inviting us into a freer place and into a higher place. If you believe it, say amen. And so God's people, they're delivered up out of Egypt, which can represent to us the world system. But there was also a point in the history of the children of Israel where they went into Babylonian captivity. Yes, sir. And while Egypt represents the world system, what Babylon can represent is a religious system that has God's people bound. Now, this is where we get to Jeremiah chapter number 29, because, you know, so oftentimes when people quote Jeremiah 29, they always circle around verse 11, and rightly so. "So I know the thoughts I have towards you, saith God, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." But see, we quote that scripture, and oftentimes we relate it to purpose and we relate it to destiny. And nothing wrong with that, rightly so, but we do so without realizing the context or the backdrop that scripture or statement was given to us in. Because the context and the backdrop of that particular scripture, God telling his people that he had given them an expected end to their captivity, was due to the fact that they had got themselves into Babylon by their own decisions and by their own choices. But right here's the good gospel news. Even when you find yourself bound in a circumstance or a situation that you got yourself into, God thinks enough about you to still have a plan to get you out. That means help me. I don't know about you, but I have got myself into some messes over the years, but I'm so thankful that like God had prepared a great fish for Jonah, that he had a plan of redemption for all of us in the room, not just to redeem us from the systems of the world, but to redeem us from our own dumb choices. Man, I have learned some things over the years, Pastor Michael, through some things I've suffered some things as a result of dumb choices. Yeah. And so the children of Israel, they're sitting in Babylonian captivity as a direct result of decisions that they have made to get there. The primary reason they ended up in Babylon is that they refused to keep the law of the Sabbath. They refused to rest. A refusal to rest in what God offers us, and really in Jesus, what Jesus has already done, will lead you into confusion. That's what Babylon means, confusion. And I also like to, a refusal to rest will leave you or lead you into confusion. Again, that's what Babylon means. And I like to break Babylon down like this, Babylon. Because what it is, it's a picture of God's people sitting in a place of immaturity. Yeah. Now, here's the sad thing about the children of Israel being in Babylon. And notice when we refer to them, we always refer to them as being the children of Israel. Why? That's how the Bible refers to them. And the reason that is because they always refuse to grow up. They refuse to mature in the things of God. And it constantly kept getting them into messes. Kept getting them into messes. And so here they are. They're sitting down. God's going to offer them some deliverance. But here's the sad fact and the reality. When the 70 years was over and the children of Israel was released from Babylonian captivity, there was a good portion of them that chose to stay. And there was a huge portion or percentage of the priesthood or the preachers that chose to stay. And how many of God's people right now is offered freedom by the redemption and the finished work of Jesus Christ, but they choose to remain in a religious system bound up, living lesser than what God called them and created them to live? By choice to be there. They chose to be in Babylon. You know why? They built houses there. They had jobs there. They raised their families there. In other words, they had got comfortable being, man, I feel the preacher on me this way. They got comfortable living in captivity. And I don't know about you, but there's been areas of my life where I've got comfortable being captive. But God said, you know what? I'll love you where you're at. I'm thinking about you where you're at. But I love you enough not to leave you where you're at. And I'm saying to you, regardless of where you're at, you may have got comfortable being there, but God loves you enough to make a plan to get you up out of that place. Yes. Religion is one of the number one hindrances to God's people in the church. So Galatians 5 verse 1, stand steadfast in the liberty or the freedom where Christ has made us free. And again, oftentimes we want to think about sex, drugs, and rock and roll, but the context of that particular scripture in Galatians 5 was Paul talking to a group of people who had constantly been inundated with this idea that not only did you have to go by the way of the blood and Jesus, but you also had to keep the works of the law. And so there was a circular letter that went throughout the providence of Galatia, because in Galatia it wasn't just one church like Corinth or Thessalonica, it was like a, you know, several different churches in this region. And so Paul sent out a circular letter to try and debunk the idea that it's Jesus plus something else. Yeah. Jesus plus anything else is religious. Let me try that one more time. Jesus plus anything else is religious. Jesus plus nothing is the only thing that equals our redemption. And so Paul is encouraging them to stay free. Again, not just sex, drugs, all those type things. I understand all of that. But he's encouraging them to stay free from the religious bondage they come up out of. Everybody say religion. Been a lot of talk about it over the last decade concerning the body of Christ, because I think we're starting to finally wake up and realize it's one of the number one things that keeps God's people bound. Let me give you this little illustration right here by giving you something humorous. I wish, you know, at times I think, Lord, I wish I could be more humorous like Pastor Michael, you know, or other people. But I want to share just kind of an idea along these lines by giving you something humorous. I'll give you one more scripture and toss the mic to Pastor Michael. Toss the mic to Mike. That was a pretty good attempt, wasn't it? You know, there you go. All right, thank you. I can be quick-witted sometimes. So there was a Catholic priest, a Pentecostal preacher, and a Jewish rabbi that made it a point to consistently meet together on a weekly basis to argue amongst themselves as to who was right concerning what they believed. And there was a particular waiter. He was always a part of this weekly gathering. And just to be quite frank, he got sick of hearing them argue. He said, I'll tell you what, here's the one, the religion I'm going to buy into. Whichever one of you can go out and convert a bear, that's the one I'm going to believe who has the real thing. So the next week rolls around, and in walks the Catholic priest with his arm in a sling. And somebody popped up and said, my God, man, what happened to you? He said, well, I come across this bear in the woods and, you know, I invoke the name of Mary. And as I clench my rosary beads, I try to lead him through the catechisms and just could not convert the bear. Next week rolls around, in walks Billy Bob, the Pentecostal preacher with his leg in a cast. Somebody said, my God, man, what happened to you? He said, I came across this bear in the woods, and I cast that devil out in Jesus' name. I rode him down to the waters of baptism, baptized him in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I baptized him in Jesus' name. Another week rolls around, and no Jewish rabbi. And somebody says, well, my God, man, where? And I, listen, I'm not knocking the ways of Pentecost. I grew up that way, and that's the reason I can preach like that. So not knocking. Somebody said, my God, man, where's the Jewish rabbi? And somebody said, well, he's laid over in St. Mary's Hospital. And so there goes the Catholic priest and Billy Bob, the Pentecostal preacher, and they come rolling up in the hospital, and there was the Jewish rabbi, full body cast. And so one of them pops up and says, well, my God, man, what happened to you? He said, well, I guess circumcision isn't a place to start. The point is, all of their religious ways could never convert the beast. Proverbs 8 talks about wisdom, but when you get into Proverbs 9, it says wisdom has built a house, slew the beast, and has furnished a table with bread and wine. Wisdom is a person. His name is Jesus. His redemptive work is the only thing that can slay the beast. His redemptive work is the only thing that can deliver you up out of Egypt, the world system, and Babylon, the religious system. If you believe I'm right about it, you ought to shout amen to this. I close right here, Psalms 126. Psalms 126, 1 and 2. I hope I've been around 15 minutes. I didn't even look at a timer. So, did you say 20? I'm so sorry. Psalms 126, verse 1. I'm unplugging right here. Promise. Psalms 126, verse 1. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dreamed. Last verse, we're done. Then was our mouth filled with laughter. Yes. Our tongue with singing. Yes. Now here's the kicker, watch this. And then said they among the heathen, yes, the Lord has done great things. Now what makes that so powerful is understanding that what God's people had just been delivered from was Babylon. And when they come up out of that religious confusion, the Bible said that their mouth was filled with laughter. They had joy unspeakable and full of glory. But here's the thing that got me. It got the heathen's attention. It got the world's attention. And if we really want to get the world's attention, man, we got to come up out of the places that's had us bound, including the religious systems of men. We will be full of joy. Come on. And it will be the greatest testimony and witness to the power of God in the earth. Yeah.
Yes. Man, I know that was a joke about the circumcision, but what a picture. We lead with the most ridiculous rules. I mean, we lead with that. We lead with that. Hey, when you get circumcised, then we'll talk to you about relationship with Jesus. When you get yourself cleaned up, then we'll talk about freedom. We lead with that. It's bad news. It's not good news. It's bad news. Lead with the good news, and then your heart will be ready to let go of things that you need to let go of. How powerful. I just honor these men again to humble themselves to take 15 minutes when they are sought after to take any amount of time they want in many places and in many pulpits, just to come and labor and serve with us and submit themselves to a little spot when they should have the whole thing. I mean, it's just so powerful. I'm not going to take 15 minutes. That's why I went last. I told them I'm going to go last because I want y'all to be free. And if anybody has to stop, cut off, I'll let it be me. I just want to tell you this, and let me just take 1 second here. Isaiah 55. It's just, you were talking about the bread and the wine at the table that the heathens even see. Isaiah 55, verse 1. You there, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy, and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what it does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and delight yourself in abundance. This place of captivity is a barren place. You get paid wages and the wages are death. You spend yourself on things that are not bread and do not fill you. You ever seen people that look 80 and they're 50?
Yes, sir.
And you say it's a hard life. It's a hard life. It's a hard life. A life of captivity is a hard life. And a life in the kingdom is a life of peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And you buy it without money. In Luke chapter 15, it's the story of the prodigal son. I feel like that cycles through at least once a month here. Because such is I. I used to think the enemy, I'm probably the only person that thinks this way. I used to think the enemy just wanted me to do bad stuff. Because I was bad already, and he would just make how bad I was come out. And that's how, and because he hated God and he wanted to separate me from God, so he would make me do bad things so that God would turn his back on me. Anybody ever think that? The enemy just wants you to do bad things. His whole goal is just to make us do bad things as an inroad to get back at God. Well, listen, you're made in the image of God. He hates you as much as he hates God. You're not just a byproduct on the way. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy you. But he doesn't just make us want to do bad things and then somehow we're banished. Somehow we're kicked out. Somehow we're separated. See, the son didn't do bad things and the dad said, you got to leave. Son just believed a lie and he left on his own. The position of God was, I never want you to leave. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. No matter what you do, I'll go with you even to the end of the earth. Nothing will separate you from my love. And he went and he spent all his money on riotous living. That's King James, on wild living. And he ended up in this place where he had nothing to eat. And I just want to be real practical. This place without wisdom, this place without direction, this place in man's system, this place in the religious system is a barren place. Just like in Egypt, there's expectations of you in man's system. You got to build so many bricks a day. And they keep taking away parts of the ingredients, and you still are expected to do the same thing with what you have. What it is it's impossible. Man's system is impossible to win at. It is a rigged game that always leaves you empty and barren, and you're led away around captive to our flesh and to sin. Anything that overcomes you, overwhelms you, you are a slave to. We become a slave to these things. We become a slave to religion. I've always said religion is the mother of manipulation. The enemy has no power. He has no strength to take you out of the Father's hand. He can just manipulate you to willfully leave and chase our own path and our own dream. But this place of captivity is an absolute miserable, barren place. And if you've been there, you know it. And since all of us have fallen short, we all know it. We've all been born into captivity and separation from the Father. But we know. But what a God that turns that around. While you're in the pig pen with nothing to eat, you've got exactly what you worked for. You got exactly what you went for. You have invested into your current situation. You have earned it. It's your wages. You're getting paid. He takes your pay and he gives you his. He ransomed us. He bought us with a price, not the blood of sheep and goats, but of the spotless Lamb of God. He rescued us. He rescued us out of captivity, and he's led captivity captive. Will you stand with me this morning? Prayer team, if you'll come. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. For a majority of people in the place today, this would be a challenge. This would be a challenge to have passion, compassion, burden for those that are in captivity. But maybe there are people in the room today, in the church today, that are living in a place where you have no bread because you've bought the things that aren't bread. You have no fulfillment. You have no peace. You have no security. You have a bunch of nothing and empty. Maybe you're here today and that's you. Maybe you're here today and like Danny said, there's this challenge to keep going and going and going. And no matter how much you press me, I can't give you all of the theological explanations. But I know that there's people of God bought by his blood that still end up in places of captivity in their lives. And they need to be set free. There's people of God that have freedom in some areas and captivity in other areas. I know we're born again and old things have passed away and behold, all things have come new and nothing should be in captivity, but that deceiver doesn't quit working. When you say that prayer, he keeps trying to deceive you and keeps trying to lure you away and call you out. And sometimes we just come into agreement in areas of our life with man's system, with religion, with not wisdom. It leads us to a place of captivity. It's not an offering sermon, but there's times where we become captive in our finances. It should not be. Now, I'm not saying, man, oh, everybody who claims the name of Christ, it's a millionaire, it's a quick ticket to the riches. I'm not saying all of that. But surely to goodness, there's a plan and there's wisdom and I've seen it and I've proven it and I can testify of it, but there's poverty mindsets. It's poverty mindsets that manifest because we live out of those mindsets and we end up in a place of poverty. And I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about poverty in relationships, poverty in finances, poverty in work, poverty in things because we're captive in that area of our life. We're not seeing the wisdom of God. We don't see his plans for our lives. There's so many other things. Based on our experiences, based on trauma, based on man's system, religious system, all the systems where some trust in horses and some trust in chariots, but I trust in the name of the Lord. Some of us have found places of trust in other things, even as we're people who bear the name of Christ. Are you with me? And the enemy will allow those things to bring about some pseudo peace and pseudo comfort and pseudo fulfillment for a season to allow our faith to grow in those things. He wants to keep going till you put all your eggs in one basket and it's the basket that is his so he can take it all at one time. He wants to bankrupt you of your faith. These places where we leave him cracks and we leave him room and we leave him areas of our life, he will take over the whole. It's like a horse and a bridle. He can put the little bridle and control the entire horse. And he'll take one place of bondage in your life and he'll end up leading you around wherever he wants to take you. So I just want to be able to say like Jesus said, he has no place in me. He has no authority over me. I put no confidence in the flesh. I put no confidence in the systems of man. Purge me and cleanse me. Search my heart, O God. Create in me a clean heart, Lord. Set me free from every place of bondage, of every place of captivity, of every place, just like the children of Israel. It's a slow fade, and they start trusting in some of the gods of the land. And he said, don't put your confidence in their gods. Don't listen to what they say. But somehow we get bombarded in society, and we get bombarded in religion, and we start putting confidence in things that cannot fulfill. Lord, would you just set us free today? Jesus plus nothing is enough for me. Everybody just bow your heads just for a minute. If you're in this room today and you say, this is all talking to me. I'm in a place where I just feel empty. I feel like I'm nowhere near where God would have me to be, and I'm not applying his wisdom. I'm not looking for his direction. I have made choices, and I feel like I'm reaping the wages of my choices in life right now, and I don't want to be free. Could you just slip your hand up right where you're at? Slip your hand up. I see you. Anybody else? Awesome. I see you. See you. Awesome. Awesome. Not awesome that you're in that place, but awesome that you know you're in that place today. It is the mercy of God that draws men and women to repentance. And today, He's allowed you to see your own depravity and your own lack and your own position. And He is never will show you that unless He has an answer. He'll never show you that unless He wants to bring you out of it. So today we just repent. I just repent from where I am. I repent for the decisions I've made. I repent for the sin. I repent for submitting and believing and listening to the lies of the adversary and letting him guide and direct and lead my life. I just repent of that. Would you just make that your prayer right in your seat? Jesus, I want to submit to you. I want you to lead me. I want you to guide me. I want you to direct me. I want to hear wisdom. I want to know your thoughts about me. I want to know your plans for me. Jesus, will you be the Lord of my life?
Thanks for listening to this audio podcast from Redemption Life Church. Be sure to stay connected with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Redemption Life.